Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 288, part 2, the conclusion to Promise 10. Today is Sunday, April 21st, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Unhearing undoes all God wants us to have. And so off they went. They took up their drab lives once more. But imagine, God was speaking to them. They leave unmoved, bored. You're going around somebody that's bored. I'm bored. Aren't boring people boring? Do you get it? I mean, they're always bored. Maybe you give them everything and they're still bored. Maybe you give them a room and they're bored, so they have room and board. Maybe you do everything for them that you can possibly do and they're still bored. Leave me alone, I'm having a mood. Have one, have at it, but get out of here. No more room and board here. Out you go without special notice, immediately if not sooner. Right? That's the way I feel about it. And that bored person infects everybody in the house as they're walking around bored. Great big old liver lips hanging out. Abused. One way to get those liver lips to slap back in their face is give them a good swift kick in the seat of the pants. Said it, and I'm glad. Sometimes that's what folks need, is a kick in the pants. Oh, I heard a lot of amens out there from a lot of moms and dads. A lot of wives and a lot of husbands, people in general. unwon for Christ because they didn't listen. Just like they had been listening to their mom or dad. Well, I mean, almost everybody goes through that when they don't listen to their parents. They're too old-fashioned. Well, here I'm standing, and I suppose I'm old-fashioned. That reminds me of a song. Isn't there a song like that? I'm old-fashioned. La-da-da-da-da. Yeah, there is. Well, I'm old-fashioned. I like the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's always brand new. But why did they fail to respond? I think for one reason. Their hearts were hard, and they allowed themselves to become like the wayside soil, the ones where they walk in a path, and they keep walking over the same path all the time till they get hard. Rumpty-tutty-tumpty-tump, rumpty-tumpty-too, rumpty-tumpty-tumpty-tump, and it gets hard. You couldn't chop it with an axe. It's hard. You can't get the seed in there. It's as hard as a rock. Huh? And we got all those excuses. I had all those excuses for 39 and a half years. I was a boozer. At first, I just took it for medicinal purposes. And after all, there was a man I seen in the paper, lived to be 190, he drank a quart a day. But see, he didn't live either. He existed. He was a walking toilet bowl walking around, but he existed. But I had all those excuses for doing my thing. So you get hard in it. Harder and harder and harder. And that was just that one beer, you know, that started you out. Oh, what's wrong with a beer? I mean, you know, look, it's 97 degrees out, and they show that on TV with the water running down its sides and everything like that. What do you expect out of a guy? How about a Pepsi Cola? How about a Gatorade? You know why Gatorade quenches people's thirst? Because they give it to you in a whole gallon with a little knob on top. That'd quench anybody's thirst. But anyway, point being, you don't have to have it. And I know that'll fall on deaf ears too, you listening on the radio. Gatorade. Whew. That's for jocks and people like that. I'm not going to get into that. No, only one thing was wrong. It was so hard, the seed sown on it had no chance. It simply laid on the surface until the birds came, the Bible says, and ate it. And that's what's wrong with the unresponsive hearers. Their hearts had been grown hard, and therefore he locks up his heart's door to Christ Jesus and his knock. And he goes, the Bible says, his own way. But I believe this. Do you believe it? Is the soil to blame because it's hard? Maybe that's a question you're asking right now. Maybe the conditions made it that way. Hard times. I mean, after all, maybe your congregation did a mass exodus. Are you hard-hearted now on account of it? Well, then you'll be just like the folks that left, hard-hearted. No, that's what's wrong. We become so hard of hearing, we don't hear anymore. Sometimes as parents, we don't hear. And the children got their little problems. Hey, there's traumas in a three-year-old's life. He's got to go out to the bullies out there. And he has to go out in a sandbox. Oh, man, I'm going to go out there if it kills me, and it will. And he has to go out there and get in the sandbox, and there's the big bully. Oh, he looks, he's smiling. He's smiling, but he's lifting a great big bucket of sand. Here we go! What makes us think that little ones, oh, I wish I was young again. Oh, those are some of the worst years in my life. I was always being chased home. People with rocks were hitting me with rocks. Lived in a little town. They didn't have any minority groups to speak of. Well, they had Greeks. We were the minorities. Man, oh, you greasy Greek. Well, my dad says I shouldn't go out with you, you know, and all this stuff like that, throwing stones at you. Then you'd get to thinking, well, being a Greek must be a curse. But I had experiences like that. Traumas in my life, like the first time I went to a three-cornered mirror and saw that my nose was like Pinocchio's. Who's that? Is that me? My God. Are you hearing this today? Are you hearing it? Are you hearing it? How many hearing it? Lay down those Frito-Lays and that Pepsi you listening on the radio. I want you to hear this. Boy, I bet that stopped one of the snappers right then and there. No, it simply laid on the surface and a bird ate it. And so he was for the birds. Yeah, people have been walking all over my old heart. Mothers say that once in a while, and dads, God, this is the thanks I get for raising all them kids up. This is my fate. Maybe you're in a nursing home right now, and no one comes to see you. Well, that could make you hard. I pray I never have to go to one of those places. Are you listening and you have a fear of going to a nursing home? I don't blame you. I refuse to go. In the name of Jesus, I'm not going to go. I'll crawl up into the Rocky Mountains and die up there first. Hey, take me up there and fly me over and I'll jump out and a parrot care drop me. What a terrible place to go. And so we have things. We get hard in our own hearts. Well, I wonder what's going to happen to me now. We get all wrapped up with the present day. Well, what's going to happen to me next? Huh? Well, maybe you're worrying about your hairline while I'm preaching. Or your clothes, or your what? And so I said, that's what's wrong with the unresponsive here. I used to listen when the word was preached, someone told me, and get excited when the cross I'd reach. But now, heartaches, that's all I ever get is heartaches. I mean, the question being, are these people to blame? Is the soil to blame because it's hard? Yes. If the soil happens to be the human heart. But wait a minute. I read in the Bible just the other day, I hear a Frito-Lay snapper saying on the radio right now, God hardened the heart of the Pharaoh. Yeah, that's true, he did. But remember that the heart of the Pharaoh was not hardened because God did not love him. His heart was not hardened because God didn't give him a chance. God didn't set out to work a tragedy in his life because he was sinful, because he was so rich, because he was so prideful, because he ate too loud or laughed too much. And by the way, aren't you glad that God doesn't judge the way people do? Why, hell would have a waiting list. I mean, people tell people to go there at the very slightest provocation. No, Pharaoh's heart was hardened by the very abundance of opportunities that were his. Wasn't hardened by his deeds so much as his persistent refusal to walk in the light as he was given to see the light. We all receive light. And the more light we receive, the more we see, and the more we see, the more we are held accountable. Now, I'm held accountable for a lot more than when I first came down here because I've seen so much. I've seen the suffering, and I've seen the uneducated, and I've seen the migration, let's say, of people coming up from the south, and I've seen so much that 8 years ago when I first came upon this area, I wasn't aware of. Now I'm aware of all that, and so much aware of all that, that now I'm being held accountable for more. It won't be as easy for me to pick up and wade out. I mean, folks, preachers, you get in deep water in your ministries where you have to, having done all, stand, and now you're out in deep water, and you have to trust in the Lord. Are you hearing me, preachers? It's not easy. You are held accountable for the light you receive. And now I'm seeing more and more and more all the time. And it seems like there is an abundance of light coming my way, and my eyes have been opened. And my ears have been opened, and I'm hearing. Now, this wonderful gospel of ours will make our hearts very tender if we will allow it to. Or, on the other hand, it'll make it very hard. So hard that the very tenderest appeal from the most anointed of preachers will leave us unmoved, unchanged, not wanting to change, bored. Oh my God, when is this guy going to get done? I hear somebody on the radio. Well, lock all the doors and windows. You only got 2 hours left. I'm just kidding. And so this then is the way of the legalist who has not received the promise, the free gift. He is so hard and so cold to sinners, just like the Pharisees were. Or the Pharaoh was to God's people. See, sometimes the hardening process is a result of a definite crisis in your life. It goes back to a particular hour in which we lose some spiritual battle. I'm sure each one of us can relate to some traumatic experience that happened in our lives. I hear certain songs, and it'll take me right back to certain times in my life that were hard, mind-bending. I almost went crazy in some of them. Totally, I think I was walking around for a good number of my years, totally insane. Are you looking for insane people? You don't have to go to the ward. They're right outside. It's insanity out. This is the biggest ward that ever was. The world is insane. And the moment we don't trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is sure insanity. How many in here have those particular times in your life you can just think back and say, oh God, that was a crusher for me? All the time I meet people that come from Christian homes who are totally indifferent to the appeal of the gospel. And upon asking them about their spiritual history, most times they'll say something like this. I stood at the forks in the road one time and heard definitely the call of God to do a certain and go a certain direction. And so they knew God's voice. But instead of obeying it, they deliberately took another road. And their light, the Bible says, would turn to darkness. Oh, how many do that for the love of the world and for their habits? And then we have some that love the world 50% and God 50%. No, you can't mix the two. You see, light dispels the darkness at night when you turn on your light in your bedroom. Does it gradually push the light out? You turn the light on and just gradually... No, it dispels it like that. The moment that you're willing to turn on the light, flip, and turn it on, that will dispel the darkness in your life. It might be a rude awakening. Isn't that rude when you're sleeping and someone comes in and turns on the light? Ooh, turn that light off. Or maybe you're in a bar. Well, isn't it funny when people are in a bar and the light goes on, they all know they got to leave. What are they doing in there anyway? Hiding, most times. And sometimes they get a little help. Okay, everybody out, lights on. They're walking around, they can't even see. Or maybe they do see the person they're with them. Ooh, let me out of here. The light reveals a lot of monsters in your life. No, when you turn the light on, there's no darkness. Everything is revealed. But if you harden your heart and you seek those dark corners, and that's why it says, don't hide your light under a bushel basket. And don't lay it off in a corner, because then you're living in sort of a shadowy experience. Put it right up there. Did you ever notice now they don't have ceiling lights anymore? Put it right up there. But let your light shine. A city set on a hill, let that light so shine before men, the Bible says. Do you remember the story about Felix? I'm not talking about Felix the cat. Paul had preached to Felix, and it says that Felix was mightily stirred, shaking, quaking, shaking. The Word of God had him shaking. See, just like this. His legs were quivering, and you could hear his knees knocking, and teeth chattering. But he ended by saying, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call upon thee. And he called again and again, but it didn't have the same effect, because he didn't come to listen the first time, and the second time he wasn't going to hear it, and the third time he wasn't going to hear it, and he never would hear it. See, more often, hardness is a result of a very long process of conscious disobedience, when we're conscious of it. If we hear the truth and we persistently refuse to put it into practice, a hardening process sits in. We become callous. We become gospel hardened. We then become legal, or look for another way in, or we try to patch old garments with new cloth, and they tear away, and the scene is worse than the first. And so it is if we refuse to see the grace of God. Then we start to say, I can't see it. I can't see why drinking is bad, and I don't see why smoking dope is bad. I mean, after all, God grew dope. I mean, didn't he grow weed? It's growing there. He grew that tree, too. You're going to try to stick that in your face? Huh? No, I understood. I know this was... Oh, when I first started, I said, you know what? They're going to find out that marijuana is very dangerous, that it has, it will change your disposition and your thinking and everything. And down the line, it's going to affect your children and grandchildren, and now they're finding that. Yeah, now they're finding it, even smoking. What happens in those cases? Your light goes out. It says, you know, your eyes went out. The candle is in your eye. You ever seen somebody that's lost the light in their eye? Their eyes don't light up anymore, and they've lost that drive. I hope I don't lose my drive. My dad was 88 years old, 87 years old when he died, and he still had his drive. He was still looking for a corner to go into business. Oh, this looked like a nice corner here. It's okay, a lot of traffic, but it's going by. It goes 60 miles an hour, no good. Still looking for it. And I used to love to sit with him and go out with him. I'd say, Dad, what do you think of this corner here? Now, I wasn't going to go into business with him because I was preaching. What do you think of this corner here? Now, let's just sit here and look at this corner. And we'd visualize putting a cafe in there and doing this and that and so on like that. And we were going to have all stainless steel back bar and, yeah, and do all those things like that. But see, he still had that drive and he still had that pizzazz and he still had that go. And the light and the candle in his eye was still going. Don't lose that, folks. Don't lose that. You can go ahead, dream a little bit. You listening, and I'll close it up. Don't harden your hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we have those that heard, but they had a quick and ready response to the appeal of Jesus. They could hardly wait for the sermon to be over so they could dash forward and throw their cigarettes on the stage and jump on them. Whoa! You ever been in any of those meetings? Where they take all their cigarettes and they say, okay, throw all your cigarettes on the stage and all your bottles. We better have a shield up there. And they get up there, do it in faith, and they throw all their junk up there. And usually someone's forcing them. All right, sonny, you heard him. It's the Lord speaking. Throw your cigarettes and your dope up there. And the kid says, okay, he tucks half of it in his sock. All right, here it goes. No, it doesn't work. The person has to hear for themselves. My mother preached to me for years, and my father preached to me for years, waited outside of bars for me to come out of the bar. But still, I can remember now what she had to say. It all made sense. But I didn't want to hear. They were so full of eagerness, these people. They ran up to the stage. Hooray! We quit everything! Oh, they were so enthusiastic. Hooray! Hooray! Oh, they didn't know what to do with themselves. Oh, they pinched themselves. They ran all over. Oh, wow! Didn't mean a thing. Emotionalism. They were full of enthusiasm. That's not all bad. But in the end, they proved a disappointment not only to the Lord, but to themselves. Then they had to get on a guilt trip. They had to go hiding. And they went over and they hid and burnt up their shirts. And they got guilty. Then they got hard. Then they come out from their hiding place. And it walked around like Humphrey Bogart, you know. Or Cagney. Nobody tells me what to do. And this is all because they were shallow and superficial. They sought to live in the realm of emotions instead of the realm of their convictions. They listened to the voice, let's say, of inclination rather than to the voice of duty. And they were always, it seems, asking themselves what they felt like instead of doing what they ought to do regardless of their feeling. Oh, there's some days I don't feel like coming down here. I don't feel like it. But I do. And every time I go against my feelings, it works out. And I think, well, look what I would have missed if I would have went by my feelings. Feelings. Feelings like I never had before. Oh, feelings. Huh? Don't go by your feelings. Go by the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Move by the Word of God. And something will happen as you dare to believe God. Do you dare to believe God? You'll get off of those things, off of the booze and the drugs, if you dare to believe God, one step at a time, dear Jesus, one step, one day at a time. See, I believe their trouble was is they were as quick to quit as they were to start. Ever have somebody like that? Well, Pastor Paul, what have we got to do today? Okay. Oh, wow. We got a whole truckload of potatoes, huh? Hey, that'll be good exercise for me. 40,000 pounds, nothing to it. Oh, let's go. Okay, look, how does this work now? Oh, the cars come by here, and they go right on by here, and you just pick up this 100 pounds of potatoes, and they open their trunks, and you just flip them in. There's nothing to it. And after about 10 bags, oh, man, I wonder if those people really appreciate it. Did you hear what that one woman said to me not to throw it so hard in her trunk? Well, I don't know. I don't think I like this very well. And so they go by their feelings because they want to go by their feelings and they don't want to put them potatoes in there and they got something better to do anyway. We went through 1,300,000 pounds of just potatoes in this mission last year. And I helped load up a lot of those cars. A lot of those cars. But I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of heavy breathing, fast starting, quick stopping people that came along my way. Didn't have the hang in. Didn't have the hang on. What did I do with my glasses? Just didn't have it all together. Oh, here they are. Where am I? But I hear you saying, I'm locking it up here. I hear you say, this wasn't the sole cause of their failure. They had genuine difficulties in their way. Yeah, that's true, but their difficulties didn't have to prove to be fatal. They ought to have been... These difficulties should have made them stronger. It says in the Bible, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you're at your very weakest, the point of the very heavy-duty temptation, and you call on the Lord, that's when He can answer. When you totally know you can't do it by yourself, and you can't throw them up on the stage and step on them and throw them and flush them down the toilet and all these habits that you have, and you say, I cannot do it, my God, I cannot do it. I've tried and tried and tried, and you say, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I can't do it. I am a total failure. I am a sinner. You're open to God. He'll do it. Is the sun hostile to the heat? No. That seed that went out there, is that sun hostile to it? No. I mean, the same sun that brought death to the wheat, there was some wheat that needed the sun and it grew. Well, what was the difference? It had root. And when it got root, it bare fruit. So you got to take the word in here and let it drop into your heart. One more piece of scripture here. In the 12th chapter of Acts, we read that an angel of the Lord smote Peter, who was in prison and chains fell off from both of his hands and feet. But then at the end of the same chapter, we read an angel of the Lord smote Herod, and that worms ate him up. In other words, the smiting brought life and freedom to one and rottenness and death to another. It's all in how they received it. So it is with the shallow hearer. It might have brought you greater strength if you heard this message today and you thought, well, hey, I can't do it by myself. Don't yield to your weaknesses. Give your weaknesses to the Lord. Do you remember when Jesus went to eat at a certain person's house? And Martha was out in there rattling them pots and pans. Maybe that's where that song came. Get out of that kitchen, stop rattling them pots and pans. And so she was doing this work and it was beautiful, but she was complaining and she was arguing and she was banging these pots and pans. And that she wanted to serve the Lord, but she made so much noise doing it. And here was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, listening. You ever done that where you just blew it? How many in here, because of their own temperament, at times have blown things and ruined probably a very perfect day because you couldn't receive? See, instead of whistle while you work, she had bang, clatter, shout, yell, scream, kick the cat attitude. And she could have been out there. Oh, we're roasting leg of lamb. Oh, we're roasting leg of lamb. And pretty soon the people would have been sitting out there tapping on their hand. What's going on in the kitchen out there? They're so happy out there. Huh? Oh, Mary, excuse me right now, but I want to go out and see why this person is so happy. Why are they whistling while they're working? See, you don't gather a group by rattling them pots and pans and kicking the cat. You don't get the Lord's attention either. It's all in how you receive the work the Lord gives you, although we tend to blow it at times. I think it's important that we minister to one another. That we can be a Martha and we can have those attitudes of Jesus in serving. Have you heard this message today? So those are the kind of hearers that we have. Did you hear this today? Well, maybe you're hot right now. You say, my God, I thought this guy would never get done. I got my deodorant down in my socks. And he's such a crazy little guy. Well, it's like I said, you gotta be a hearer of the word. I'm sure for the most part you heard it here today. And some of the antics I go through is so that you will hear it. So hard to draw people's attention sometimes. So hard with young people, and I work with them all the time downstairs, so hard to get their attention. Sometimes you gotta yell, "Don't run!" Then you get their attention and say, "Don't run, honey." Oh, okay. So they're left with that. They're not left. Don't run in this building! How many times do I have to tell you? They get enough of that at home. Don't make so much noise. Don't you know it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon? There's a lot of moms all over Minneapolis asleep until 2 in the afternoon. And the baby's laying in that crib with sour milk all over its dirty, unwanted, fold-over T-shirt. Do they still make them dumb things where you got to fold them over and tie them? Huh? Well, whatever. And so they don't need to hear that. They need to hear, get their attention first, and then give them a don't. Do the same thing over again, but in lighter tones. And it's the same way when you preach. Sometimes you have to get people's attention with a... And after you get their attention, you tone it down. Amen? Now you can say amen. Amen. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior?
That was the conclusion to episode 288. That was part 2 to Promise 10. Be sure to join us every Friday for part 1, every Sunday for part 2 of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed part 1, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, There you will find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. Join us next Friday for Pastor Paul's message, Promise 11. Have a great week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
Indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord. but you're gonna have to serve somebody.